Summation on the song Silent Night. It's Christmas Eve in 1818 in the Austrian Alps when Father Joseph Moore was prepared to have a midnight service when his church organ broke, ruining the carefully planned music he had set up. It came into his mind to write the first lyrics which could be sung without an organ. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. He took the words to his organist, and together, along with the guitar, Silent Night was sung for the first time at the Church of St. Nicholas. The song spread through the Alpine region of Austria, and later would be sung as a royal performance to the king and queen, assuring the carol's fame. It was then published for congregational singing in German hymn books in 1838. If it were not for a broken organ, there never would have been a Silent Night. So I have my sidekick here who's going to sing with me this song.
You know the words?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, thou young virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sweet in heavenly peace.
Kay Hudson's in her house there. She made us come inside, and we all got in there. You couldn't see me, though. I was in the far back, and I think it was several of us that were kind of peeking through the crowd. JJ, it's good to see you. I didn't see you over there, but good to have you with us today. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Christmas, obviously, it's a very special time of year. Beautiful decorations. We've got some that I love up here, all of this red showing in the Christmas time. Wonderful fellowships that we can be involved in. Exciting programs. We had ours last Sunday night, and I thought the young people did a wonderful job with that, and the adults that helped plan all of that and practice it. But it's all connected to God's unspeakable gift. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. The gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unspeakable in the sense that it cannot be fully comprehended or described. And therefore we have this great gift that is to us. So the best that we can know still falls way short of all that he is to us and does for us. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ doctrinally is called the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the taking on of human flesh. In John 1:1 that I had Daryl read this morning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, God the Son, became flesh and dwelt among us. He took on the form of a human being, but not just became a man, but he became a baby, vulnerable, needing to be raised, and yet fully God. We praise the Lord for that truth. Of all the things that we could discuss concerning Christ's birth, things such as the miracle conception, obviously is a great truth. The providential decree of taxation that we saw last week, the guiding star in Matthew chapter 2 of the wise man coming, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy can be looked at. There's many in which the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled in his coming. But to me, the most penetrating truths come from the first messengers of the Christmas event. And that was the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, that we'll see. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." When God sent his son into this world, he didn't advertise it on satellite. He didn't go through Madison Avenue to try to make it known. There were only a few people that were alert to what was happening. Obviously, Mary and Joseph. And then the angel appeared to these shepherds. And they knew what was going on. They heard the announcement from God through the angel. You know, the word angel means a messenger, one that is sent with God's word to share. What angels have to say on their own is not important. It's what God has to say. You know that's true with pastors and preachers. It's not important what I have to say unless it's tied to what God has to say.
Amen.
It's God's word that we're wanting to know and wanting to understand. And these shepherds received the announcement from the angel, and it's the responses of these shepherds that I want us to consider this morning. So I've entitled the message, Proper Response to God's Gift. Proper Response to God's Gift. Father, I pray that you help me to share very clearly the truth of this, your word. And as we look this morning, this Christmas Eve of 2023, that we may understand clearly what you want us to hear today concerning the birth of your son. Lord, it's information that we have heard before, but Lord, it is necessary for us to partake of this spiritual food that it may be nourishing to us spiritually, beneficial to us spiritually this morning. And I pray that as we look, that you would do exactly that in our hearts. Thank you for what you shall accomplish. And may we be able to take this message and the truth of you, the birth of your son, with us where we go and who we're with, to share the praise of your gift. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at a few things for us, the responses here. The first one is the recipients in their communication to them. As I said, the angel appeared here to shepherds. These shepherds were picked by God to receive the announcement of the birth of his son. Notice how unlike man God was when he chose these shepherds. You've heard before that shepherds were not the most popular type of job a person could have. Matter of fact, that they were looked down upon by many. Man kind of chooses what he thinks is going to be best for himself. Shepherds neither looked nor seemed to be good or best in any means. Genesis 46 and verse 34 says that for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. There are a lot of people that looked at shepherds that way. They had this job that that a lot of people, other people, did not want. A job in which caused them to be kind of smelly in what they had to do. It was a job also that some people believed that was held by people that did not have much of a testimony of being honest with the truth. One commentator says that they were not allowed to testify in court because they were notorious with the truth. They were thought of as being liars. And so here, God chose shepherds. People looked down upon. People that were not considered to be much. He chose shepherds to be the recipients of the greatest message that has ever been communicated to mankind.
Amen.
And that was God's way, and that's what God did. Would these caretakers of such dumb animals be eloquent enough to be able to tell Christ's Christmas truth? Excuse me. Well, God chose them. God consistently chooses the lowly, the unimportant, the poor, the weak, to do his bidding. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
I fall into that category. as one person sitting here often says, I resemble that remark, and you know who it is, but we are that, exactly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 explains it in verse 26 and following. It says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised. The word means to look down on, to discount as nothing. Those things hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That, and there's two purpose clauses that he gives. The first one here, excuse me, in verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God has chosen the weak things. God has chosen the things that doesn't appear to be much. He has chosen that to use that no flesh could glory in his sight. He chose me because I'm not much of anything of myself. The only way I can accomplish anything of any magnitude is as he is through me working. It is Christ in us that makes all the difference in the world. Amen. And we need to recognize that he did that so that no flesh could glory. That I can't stand up here and say, you know, God chose me because I'm such a good speaker. He chose me because I have such nice ties. He chose me because, no. He chose me because I was a nobody, nothing. I didn't even make the best of grades in college. Some of my friends that made a lot better grades than me, they washed out in the ministry. Hmm. It's not about that. It's about being willing to say, Lord, I acknowledge that I'm nothing.
Amen. Amen.
And I ask for your help to do what I have to is next.
Amen.
The acknowledging of that, the requesting of God's help, his power, that's what it's all about. That's what the Apostle Paul came to realize. You remember in 2 Corinthians 12, how that he had a thorn in the flesh. He asked God to remove it, and God didn't. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul went on to say that in verse 10, he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. What did he mean by that? He meant that when I recognize that I am weak, when I acknowledge that I am weak, when I say, Lord, I can't do this, that's when God comes in and does it through me, and then I'm strong. And that's what we need to do, that acknowledging. Because in 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I'm just a clay pot. I don't know if you remember a message I preached some time ago about that representing, I'm just a box, a pizza box, I believe I used. I'm just a pizza box. And do you order pizza in order to get the box? Nah, box is nothing. It's just that which holds what you're looking for. And what you're looking for is God's word. And I'm just a box today carrying. And so it is important for us to recognize that we have this treasure, this thing to be valued in us being just a box, just an earthen vessel, a clay pot. That it's not about the clay pot, but it's about the one who uses it. And so it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. God has chosen the weak things of this world. Not only that, but God has changed the weak things of this world. Isn't that wonderful? We are the weak things of this world that he has chosen, and he is then willing to change us into the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Queen Victoria of England ruled 1837 through 1901. She visited a business place where she saw men picking up dirty rags and placing them in containers. Thinking that the rags should be thrown away, she commented to the owner, what good are these filthy rags? He simply smiled and asked her to wait for an answer. Later, he sent her a box of beautiful white stationery with the queen's picture embossed upon it. While men can take filthy rags and make stationery out of them, God can take our filthy rags. You know what I'm referring to? The scripture tells us in the Old Testament that all of my righteousnesses, all of the best I can possibly do, in God's sight, is like filthy rags. Because I've fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The best I can possibly do, it still doesn't make it. It's like filthy rags. But God can take the filthy rags and he can make something beautiful out of it if we will submit to that process of his change that he wants to do in our lives. God saves us and he changes us so that, first of all, we can be acceptable to be with him. And that's one of the first things he has done. God created man to be with man. Man sinned and broke the fellowship with God. God sent his son, Emmanuel, God with us, so that he can make it possible through his sacrifice for our sins to be paid for and we can be brought into a right standing with God. And therefore, we could be acceptable to be with him in heaven. He's changed us for that purpose, but he also changed us so that we can share his word, so that we can give the truth of what Jesus Christ has done for us so that others can learn and know that he can do the same for them. So first of all, we see these recipients. They were ordinary men given an extraordinary privilege. Secondly, we see in verse 9, the angels. And in verse 9 of Luke 2, we read, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." They were very much afraid. The angel of the Lord, I'm guessing most likely was Gabriel that appeared. God used Gabriel so often to be his messenger angel in connection with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this angel of the Lord appeared right there to these shepherds on this dark night as they were out there. And all of a sudden the sky lights up and this angel appears. Now what does the angel look like? Not like me. Unless we read about in Hebrews that we have entertained angels unawares. You know, there are sometimes angels that may appear like another human being and may be in distress and God's seeing if we're going to stop and help. Or it may be that we were in distress and God sent them to help us. Amen. It may be that kind of situation, but here I don't think it was that kind because it said they were sore afraid. I believe this was an angel with his wings spread wide that appeared. You know, some would say, it can happen. It did happen. We have this angel that appears, and they were frightened. All of a sudden, in the middle of the air above them, this angel appears. I would dare say that any one of us tonight, if we were standing outside putting a trampoline together, I've done that. Thankful I don't have to do it again. Or something else. And all of a sudden, in the night sky, appears an angel glowing above us. I believe we would be sore afraid as well.
Amen.
We would be startled. It's not something that you would normally see. And so this angel appeared unto them. They were very much afraid. Gave them a message. We'll see that in a moment. Verse 13, we have described a multitude of heavenly hosts. Then appears with this angel, other angels. How many angels was it? Well, some people believe it was all the angels, all the good angels that appeared. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6, God the Father says that when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. All right, that's Christmas, the birth of Christ. When he bringeth in the first begotten of the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And they did. And so this may have been all of the angels of God. It certainly was a great host of the heavenly host there that came and worshiped God here with them. You think that they were so afraid over one angel. That was a spectacular sight that took place with these angels coming. And then the message, there was a general message given by Gabriel possibly in verse 10, where the angel said unto them, "Fear not." That's comfort. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Good tidings. The word that means there, the gospel, the good news. Same word. That's to how many people? To all people. Do you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is open and given to all of the world? God so loved the world, all of them, that he gave his only begotten Son. He came to be born, take on human flesh. Jesus Christ did that. He became the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction of God's holy and just demands. And not for our sins only, 1 John 2, verse 2, but he became the satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, the propitiation for all. He died for all. We praise the Lord, for the gospel is to all. The good news is to all people. There's specific message that's given in verse 11. He says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," number one, "a Savior," number two, "which is Christ the Lord," number three. Three parts that he reveals here. First one is the location which is fulfilled, and that is the city of David, the Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 records, it says, "Thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Here's one, he says, that's going to be born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. The eternal God is going to be born. He's going to take on human flesh, and the place is going to be Bethlehem. So the location was given that it was been filled in fulfilled in Bethlehem. The purpose had been fulfilled. He says a Savior is born. The promise of the Savior to Israel. The promise of a Savior to the world. Do you know that that is the promise that God gave of the Lord Jesus Christ from the very beginning? That Savior has been promised in Genesis chapter 3. Right after the sin of Adam and Eve, God in verse 15 promised the Savior who would come. Satan, the serpent, would hurt his heel, bruise his heel. But thou, the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, would bruise his head. There would be a devastating blow to Satan. And so we have the promise that is given to us. This first prophecy of Scripture in Genesis 3:15, this purpose is fulfilled. He is the Savior that is born, and then the person is fulfilled. He is Christ the Lord. We use the word Christ so often, we don't really think about what we're saying. The word Christ, the title Christ, means Messiah. He is the Messiah that was born on that first Christmas day. So we have this location of Bethlehem, the person, the Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. Note the angel's response in praise in verse 13. The end of verse 13, it says, "This heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest. Great praise that these angels did in response to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. A great announcement was made and a great adoration was given. Next we see in verses 15 and 16 the investigation. Here we have in verse 15 and 16 the shepherds responding and saying, "It has come to verse," and it says, "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Wait a minute, I thought the angel was speaking. But remember, the angel was speaking what God had said to say. And so it was God's word, same thing in preaching. I am bid to preach, not my word, but what God has given to say. And so it is God's word that we are listening to and his message to us today. And so he said, let's go even to Bethlehem to see this that the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. The angel said, God said through the angel, you're going to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger in Bethlehem. And so they went to Bethlehem and they found it just like the angel had said, just like God had said unto them. Exactly. So their decision was, let's go see what the angel was talking about. They decided to pursue the good news, the gospel. Isn't that what every one of us has to do? Before we can be saved, we've got to pursue the gospel. Before, and that's what salvation is. It's coming to grips with the understanding of what the gospel is. It's the good news that Jesus Christ hath both not only been born, but he lived a perfect life. He died, was buried, and he rose again the third day. He did that to pay for our sin debt. And there's not a sin that I could ever do that he couldn't pay for. If I think that he can't pay for my sin, then I think Jesus Christ is very little. I think my sin is bigger than him. And I know that heresy is exactly that. Jesus Christ paid it all.
Amen.
All to him we owe. I dare to say that it's not really us saying, I don't believe that he can pay for my sin. It's more of us dragging our feet because all to him I would then owe as my Savior and Lord. And a lot of people don't want that. It's a shame, though, to die and go to hell because they don't understand what he lovingly did for them. Their decision, they pursued the good news. Their discovery, as I said, they found exactly the way that the Lord had told them. If you choose to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to find his promise of eternal life is true.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Not only that, but you're also going to find his promise of abundant life is true right now. Abundant life. He says in John, Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so it is this life that he has given us that's not just hope for right now, but there's the hope and the promise and the confidence of the future with life in heaven with him.
Amen.
Because he has saved us and changed us so that we can be with him. And he wants us to share that good news as well. Which brings us to verses 17 and following, the proclamation. The proclamation. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The shepherds had a testimony to share. They had a testimony to share. They proclaimed the good news. They told what they had seen and what they had heard as it was declared unto them. Folks, that's what witnessing is all about. Witnessing to other people is only telling them what we have experienced ourselves in salvation. It's not preaching to other people. It's not trying to craft some kind of special wise presentation like a salesperson of the gospel of Jesus. You don't have to sell Jesus Christ.
Amen.
An argument, a presentation, is not the power of God unto salvation. Not according to God. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so when we witness, we're just telling, like I've said many times, It's like one beggar telling another beggar where he can find bread. I found the Lord Jesus Christ. He has satisfied me. He has saved me. He has changed me. And he'll do the same for you. And as we're telling that, we tell what we learn through Scripture. Because I didn't know I was a sinner, except the Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I didn't know that there was a wage to my sin, except the Scripture says, for the wages of sin is death. I didn't know what Jesus Christ did to pay for my sin debt, except the Scriptures had said that he paid it all. He did for all of mankind. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And I didn't know how I could make him mine, except the Scripture said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We can become a child of God as we by faith believe that we have a need. I'm a sinner. That Jesus Christ paid for my sin debt. And that I call upon him. I receive him. The gift of God is eternal life. And as Christmas, we're reminded so much of gifts. And it's the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection that it's all about. You can't separate his birth from his death, the purpose of his coming. That gift that God has given unto us must be received by each individual. We must make a choice to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that's what salvation is. And that's what witnessing is. Just telling how we came to understand that that's what I had to do. That's what you had to do. And then you can say, have you ever come to a point where you realized that and you made that choice yourself? You got to do that. Don't wait until it's too late. There's no second chance after that. They had a testimony to share. They had heard the angels speak, Christ is born in Bethlehem. This child was promised Savior, the Messiah of Israel. And they had gone and found out it was just like what the angel had said. They had seen with their own eyes, and they just simply witnessed that. God's people giving God's word to the lost that God loves. How many lost people does God love? God so loved the world. Everyone. The shepherds had a testimony to share. They had also a testimony of praise. In verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen. They praised God for it all. So should we. So should we. We should do it today, Sunday. We should do it tomorrow. That's Christmas Day. As you meet with your family or friends, whether they, you say, well, they're not coming, I'm kind of alone. Well, maybe they'll call on the telephone. Well, maybe you'll call them on the telephone. Don't sit there and say, well, they didn't call. That's like the person that comes to church and say, you know, nobody spoke to me today. Well, that means you didn't speak to anybody either, right? Call. Share praise of what Jesus Christ has done for you, and thank the Lord that he sent his son to be born as a baby to do all of that for us.
Amen.
What a praise that we have to share, just like these shepherds had. And we ought to share it, not just today and tomorrow, but always. So what is your response to the birth of Christ? To share his great praise and testimony? To share his good news and witness? Back in 2013, I wrote a poem for Christmas entitled, What Will You Say? There's a couple of verses of this poem, I think, that speaks to about the responses. And I want you to listen very carefully. What will you say? Born in a manger many years ago was a little babe kept warm from the snow. The angel announced the good news that day. This child is born as the Savior, he did say. God the Son, born in the form of a man, came to die. It was the Father's loving plan. Mary did ponder what the angel had to say, and Joseph to the angel did choose to obey. The angels gave glory to God with a shout. The shepherds with praise everywhere went about. The wise men came with their gifts to present, but Herod, the news of a king born, did resent. With this truth of his birth, we must each choose to believe and receive or neglect or refuse. The manger and the cross are easy to understand. God is simply to you holding out his great hand. This free loving gift he offers you this day. What is your answer to him? What will you say? What is your answer today? What's your response to the Lord and what he has given of this great gift, the Lord Jesus Christ? To the lost, I encourage you to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't walk out of here and say, well, not today. You neglect to do it too long, and it may be your last choice. If you walk out neglecting, it's the same thing as refusing. It's just a better way of trying to make you feel good about it. Don't neglect, don't refuse. Believe and receive him today. To those of us that are saved, what is our response? I hope it'll be to worship him. But you know, we don't just worship him in words. The wise men, when they came, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those gifts would represent our giving unto the Lord. You know, it's not just finances that we give unto the Lord, but we give him our time, our servants, our talent. All of that is part of our giving unto him. Our obedience to what he says. We're to worship him in words, and we'd worship him in the works. We're to witness for him. Take time to share the good news with all people. The good news. Peace on earth. The way we can have peace is only through the participation of what Jesus Christ did for us, receiving it.
Amen.
It's been said that it's only good news if it gets there in time. If we don't share the good news, there are some people that may never hear it to understand and believe. It's our responsibility. I encourage you with that. Every head bowed, please. We're going to close the service with an invitation. The song we're going to sing is going to be a little different. I've chosen this one because I believe it is something that gets us to think about what God wants us to do in the sharing the good news. Father, I pray that as we look in our own hearts, as we consider, we should be willing to give this good news, the good tidings, to other people. To tell it where we go. Lord, you are very good. The best. And it's because of that love and goodness you've given your Son. May we share that good news with others. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. If you look up here.